Hey, y'all, welcome back to Erase the State. Maddie K here with, for the first time, a very special guest to talk about the most important Liberty event of the season, which is still happening, I'm told. Mr. Jacob Lindsay. Jacob, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I was a little stressed out on Friday, but you know, as I always think things do anyways, is everything fell into place and we're still on for Childeberg Dose.
Yeah. So there's been some slight alterations, I guess, some schedule changes. So why are not schedule, but venue changes. So why don't you tell our listeners who may not have seen everybody's retweets and maybe didn't get the email.
Yeah.
Where are we doing this now?
Okay, so the new location is called Muleshoe Bend Recreational Area. And so it's about 40 minutes outside of Emma Long Metropolitan Park is where the original location was. This is about 40 minutes outside of that. So it's kind of an interesting, I guess, turn of events, or I'm not even sure what to call it, like just a series of things that happened very quickly on Friday. So I had been calling every couple of days to Austin City Parks, or I think it's, I don't remember what the department's called, but some, you know, some government, local government agency, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, you know, I've got this block of reservations. We're expected to be there the 23rd through the 26th. Is this still on? And every time I called, they were like, well, actually the story changed a little bit. So the first several times I called, yes, we're scheduled to open on the 8th. So you'll be good. Your reservations will be honored. And I was like, awesome, great. Call back a couple of days later. Yep, the 8th. Good. And so on and so forth. And then one day I went to the website just to kind of check, and there had been a change. It no longer said it would open on the 8th. It now said, click here for the mayor's COVID statement.
Yeah.
So I clicked it. Doesn't say anything about when anything will open. And I was like, dang, okay. So I called. I said, you know, what's the deal? And they said, well, we're probably going to be open the 14th now, but you should be on schedule. We don't know for sure, so call back in a couple of days. All right. So I called back a couple of days later, and they, same thing. Nope, looks like we're going to be opened. I don't think there'll be any problem. Call back in a couple of days just to make sure. And then that was, I guess, that last time I called was, I think, the 6th. So it was last Wednesday. And was, you know, going to call him back again on Friday. And then around 11 o'clock, I receive an email from Austin City Parks saying, here's a refund for all of your sites. Oh. And I'm like, oh, crap. Fortunately, I had booked up a backup site about 20 minutes away from that. I was like, okay, no problem. I started writing up a newsletter letting everybody know that we're going to be at this new location, which I can't remember what it's called. It was something Falls. So it was like outside. It's another park a little bit further up the river. And start writing that up. About an hour later, I get another email with a block of refunds for that location.
Nice.
So I call them up and I go, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, the Tarrant County manager or whatever has decided to extend the social distancing lockdown order until June 14th.
Mm. Wow.
So, or not Tarrant County, Travis County.
Yeah.
So to June 14th. And I went, really? And they're like, yeah, that's we've been informed to, you know, refund everybody their money. So I was kind of in a scramble, freaking out a little bit, going like, I had a backup plan. I did have a third backup plan, but it wasn't one that I wanted to use. It was a first come first serve park. So I called them up to see if maybe I could just, if I could maybe just get reservations because of the cancellations. Mm-hmm. And I called them up and they said, no, we've been ordered by the county. It was a private park. We've been ordered by the county to not admit campers.
And were they also in Travis County?
Yeah. Same county. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, oh crap. Okay. So I started scrambling. I knew the state parks were open. So I started calling around to the state parks. All the state parks were fully booked. Cause it was a holiday weekend. So of course.
Right.
And I went, and then I was like, you know what? We actually had a pretty good time. Actually, we had a really good time, at Childeberg One. But one of the reasons was it was the campsite was pretty low key. The people that were managing it didn't bother us. Didn't really care what we were doing. Now, granted, we were pretty respectful. We weren't loud or anything like that. So I went ahead and called the Lower Colorado River Authority, and I said, do you guys have anything in the Austin area where the block of sites that are close to each other that are open? And sure enough, they said, yeah, we never actually closed. Oh, wow. We've been, yeah. So we, you know, they're, I guess they're a federal,
administration. Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. So they said, yeah, we've never closed. We don't have any sort of restrictions. We haven't really been taking reservations, but we started taking reservations again. So we do have at Muleshoe Bend, there's actually enough spaces for what I was asking for. And I said, great, let me make a reservation. They're like, oh no, you have to do it online. And so I was like, got to type in there, get in there. Like, so then I'm clicking on them. Like two of them went as I was trying to reserve them. But I got enough for everybody who's made a reservation. There's enough space. We'll have to double up on, in the campsites, but it's looking at the map and everything like that. It's roughly the same size as the one at Buchanan Lake that we did before. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of space, and you can just kind of put your tent up as long as it's in our camping area, and sure. You know, plenty of area and stuff. So we got that booked. I sent out the newsletter. We'll be at Muleshoe Bend Recreational Area. It's a little bit further up the Colorado River again. So it's about 40-45 minutes away from Emma Long Metropolitan Park. The nearest town, I think, is called Spicewood.
Okay.
There are hotels and stuff if people are not interested in camping. That you can. There's about 15 minutes up the road. There is there's like a La Quinta Inn and a Holiday Inn and a couple of others. I think Motel 6 and stuff like that. But it should be a great time. I'm glad that you know, the gods smiled on us and we didn't have to fully cancel. So,
right.
Just kind of a weird, you know, it's a really weird time. These are not types of things that, you know, Mason and I were actually talking about this on Tasting Anarchy is like in January, if somebody had told me that in, well, probably, I guess, starting early April for us, here in Texas, that we would have a lockdown like this and that the lockdown would last multiple months, I would have said, that's crazy. There's no way that Americans would stand for that.
Right.
That like, yeah, they'd be rioting. And now granted, I haven't been rioting either. You know, I am actually living fairly, probably more comfortably than I was. Cause now I work from home and sure. That took a little adjustment, but overall, like I get more work done. I have shorter hours, like that kind of stuff. So like my life's been pretty comfortable, but I'm just blown away that there just hasn't been more stink, I guess, about this.
Yeah. And then I certainly expected a lot more pushback.
Yeah. Well, and it's not something that like when you're planning an event like Childeberg, it never occurred to me when I reserved all of these spaces that this would be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now I'm wondering, is this something I'm going to think about going forward when I make reservations? Am I going to need to make like tertiary arrangements every single time to be safe? But, or is this, you know, or is it going to be a one-time thing? And like, you know, I think people are starting to get a little bit fed up with it. And so I wonder if they try to do it again, if people will just be like, no, we're not doing that. But, you know, who knows? It's been an adventure. But I think we're still gonna have a good time. So, you know, some of our guests had to cancel, which is unfortunate. So Robbie had to bail out.
Right.
But he'll come for Childeberg 3, or as the Russians say, tree. And okay. which is probably what we'll do it as Childeberg tree, or we were gonna go with Somali because, you know, anarchist. So and I don't remember what the word three in Somali is, but it was something really interesting. But yeah, so
I still think you missed the opportunity for foie trois, but that's just me. Mm. Sorry. Cold
no,
three.
Yeah, that's no problem. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, yeah, we'll do, yeah, I mean, maybe we'll still work it out. We'll still work it out a little bit. Yeah. So like, you know, a lot of our plans kind of fell through, but I think this is going to be a really great event. I think it's going to be just kind of low key, camp out, cookout like last time, a little bit longer, which like, I felt like last time we were kind of in and out, and then that was it. It was very fast. So we'll have two nights this time, which is going to be fun. And I got a cool volleyball net. I got these, they're jazz mitten, you know, like badminton. They're jazz mitten paddles. So They look like big ping pong paddles, but they're nice. But I was like, I gotta buy these because it's jasmine and that's cool. That's so we perfect. Got a volleyball net. We got bocce for anybody who's interested in playing bocce ball. Okay. There's some cornhole cornhole boards coming, and you know, the gang's gonna be there. Carr's gonna be there. I think Bird said he couldn't make it, but a lot of the podcasters. I assume you're coming as well.
Yeah, I'm 75-25. So I have lobbied my wife, and I think I'm gonna go. So I'm gonna try and go and stay at least one night. I don't know if I can get there Friday, but I'm gonna try and go early Saturday again and stay through Sunday. So I knew I did have a conflict where I'd probably do like a Friday, Saturday, then back out. But it was related to my daughter's recitals for ballet.
Canceled.
So so that weekend is wide open. Yeah. But I also do start a new job like that Monday, I think. So could change things. I don't know. But I'm definitely going to try and be there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be fun. You're down near Houston, right? So
yeah,
that's a couple of hour drive for you. So it's not too bad, you know. But I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
yeah. I think we're gonna do a Return of the Wine Van. There's two wineries right near there. So I was thinking maybe last minute wine van arrangement. Well, we weren't gonna do it because we were gonna be so far away from any wineries in downtown Austin. We were gonna do a brew tour instead, but. If it's anything like Dallas, all the breweries are one person at a time right now, which is freaking weird. I would expect
that to be similar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I went over to community brewing today. I took my dog to the vet, and we actually moved out to Arlington, but my vet's still in Dallas. So I drove out there, and while I was there, I was like, well, I'm near community anyway, so I'll stop by. And I kind of expected like I could bring in my dog, people would pet the dog, and I'd have like a beer at the place, but when I got there, the sign was like one person at a time, and there was like a line of like three people outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "This is weird. That's this is really worth weird."
Going at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I waited in line, and I bought some of the stuff that they have that you can only get at the brewery.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just it like every time I'm faced with that, it's just really weird. So I'm gonna call up these wineries, see what they're doing, or maybe they can. Maybe they're not allowed to let us inside the building, but maybe they have like an outside area where we could do a tasting or something like that. You know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting, but I think that, you know, regardless, we're going to have fun like we did last time.
Did we have fun?
I did.
I don't know. I can't remember. So anyway, what's, since I've got you on the show, are you drinking anything right now?
I am. I'm actually drinking beer, not wine, surprisingly.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well,
yeah, I'm drinking medical grade haze, hazy India pale ale from Community Brewing.
Nice. Is it one of the ones that you picked up?
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's a 7.7 ABV. So it's kind of high up there, but it's interesting. The hops that they use are less bitter and a lot more like juicy. So it doesn't have that typical real bitter, citrusy kind of IPA taste. It's more of like a tropical taste almost. It's interesting. Yeah, it's really unusual.
I might actually like that. I'm normally very anti IPA. I like to smell, you know, a nice florally, like fresh cut grass. Like the nose is great, but I just feel like you cover up shit beer with like a lot of hops, right?
That's true.
Tastes like you're, you know, chewing a salad instead of trying to drink a beer or something like that with like just a bunch of lemon or something. But when I can find a nice, like just something different or something along the lines of like a session IPA,
I'm
usually pretty happy because those tend to be really interesting. So
yeah, they do. And it's pretty good. Yesterday I actually, and I'm going to release the episode soon, kind of on a wine note, very, very limited availability on this. I think there's only like 10 bottles left in the country or the world. That Laser Cat Rosé of Tempranillo, which is the first wine produced by Altamarfa Vineyard. And we had him on the show, Ricky, who owns Altamarfa. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy, probably, I think he's around my age, maybe 32 or 33, maybe younger actually even. But this is his first commercially available wine. He chose to do a Rosé of Tempranillo, which I think is very interesting.
That's very interesting. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it was not what I would have expected from a rosé of Tempranillo. It had a really long finish, very acidic. It kind of tasted like grapefruit on the finish almost. But very kind of rosé-y on the front end. But I would say almost more crisp and refreshing, more along the lines of like a Sauvignon Blanc than a typical rosé. It was really very interesting. I liked it a lot. I have one bottle of it left. He said he has 8 bottles left. And as far as he knows, that's it. But he's got another one coming out next year, and he's got a regular Tempranillo coming out later this year. So be on the lookout for that.
I'm going to have to check that out because I think, as you may remember, I've been on a Tempranillo kick for like a year and a half now. So
yeah, I love Tempranillo. That's one of my favorites. Do you know the Heights grocer down there in Houston?
No.
I think it's probably in like the hipster part of town.
Yeah. Is it in the Heights?
I don't know. It's just called the Heights Grocer. That's where I ordered this from because they were the only one. They were the only one that would ship it to Dallas. So,
well, I have to check it out.
And I called them up and they were like, "Oh yeah, we'd be happy to ship it to Dallas as long as it's in the state." And got it from them. He said that you'll be able to order his other stuff direct from him, so they'll have all that licensing and stuff worked out. So go to Altamarfa.com and you can learn a little bit more about it. These grapes actually don't come from his vineyard. His first vintage probably won't be for another 2 years from his winery, but these are Texas grapes. They're from the Robert Clay Vineyard, which is over there in Mason and, up in Hill Country. So he's got both this and the other Tempranillo are going to be from that. He's actually doing another one next year. And you guys can hear more details about this on our episode that I'll put out later this week. He's doing another one from grapes that he has sourced from New Mexico. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. I've never had a wine from New Mexico, but I hear that they're doing a lot of cool stuff out there.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty similar though, right? Because, I mean, there's a lot of West Texas and Panhandle grape growers, so.
Well, I'm not sure where these grapes are from, but from my understanding, like some of the interesting stuff that's going on in New Mexico is getting up into the Rockies, and they're doing some of those high-altitude cold varieties that you get in, like, Germany or Alsace in France or Austria, things like those varieties grow apparently really well up there. And it's a similar climate. So, I think that'll be interesting to see what they got. And, maybe that'll be possibly one of the sites for Childeberg Town.
Ooh.
One of the ones to consider is out that way.
I like it. That's a good idea. Well, any plugs and tell us what's happening on your main show?
You can hear me on Tasting Anarchy. It's the show I do with Mason, which is our tagline is find out how much government is in your drink. And turns out there's a lot. And we talk about that pretty much every episode. We do a little bit of wine and alcohol news, typically from a libertarian perspective. We try to have guests on that are in the wine world, but also just kind of generally libertarian guests or just people who are interested in wine and alcohol. And that's pretty much it. I mean, my main focus right now is Childeberg. My focus after that is I'm trying to start a new holiday for libertarians and anarchists, Ron Paul Day. Ron Paul Day is August 20th. It is, we'll probably celebrate it whatever weekend is closest to August 20th. Mm-hmm. I figured it would be a really good time to have like a lake party and try to raise a little bit of money for the Ron Paul Institute. So that's something I'm going for. And then kind of back to Childeberg, though, I keep forgetting to plug this. This is actually all the proceeds from Childeberg Above Costs go to Ross Ulbrich for freeross.org. He's got like a ridiculous like double life sentence plus 40 or something crazy for building a website. So we're raising money for that. I think right now we're at just over $100. And so whatever we end up getting to, I'll round it up to the next 100 and we'll send that over to, Lynn Ulbricht for, via crypto. So, awesome. And also if you want to donate crypto, you can, reach out to me and I'd be happy to give you my address so that you can send it to me, or you can reach out to Carr Campit, who would also be happy to take that so that we can give it to Lynn Ulbricht their legal costs are pretty outstanding. So
sure. Yeah, and if you shoot that to me, I'll put all that in the show notes.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Well, Jake, thanks for coming on the show, man. We're happy to have you back anytime you want to come back on. And folks, y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe. We don't do Share the Show Tuesday because we come out on Thursdays. So every episode's a Share the Show Thursday. Yeah, we'll see y'all next week, man. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky-tonk filled with one-night stands. Take a telly on fire with a gonzo steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.